Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Oh, here we go.
Yay!
Kelly, let's rock and roll. We're here with our amazing guests, but quickly before we jump in, we're so excited to share with everyone that we've really got a lot of episodes that are out there on Apple Podcast and all the other podcast platforms. And we have this little idea that we want to share with you. We'd love for you to go on those podcasts and rate the show. Give us your comments. We're so excited to be delivering content that you hopefully find builds your curiosity, maybe adds some value, maybe connects you with a modality or a practitioner that maybe you've never heard of before. And that sparks maybe a new chapter in your life. So please do go on any of the podcast platforms, rate us, review, and then take a screenshot and send it to kelly@edgemagazine.net. And if you didn't get that when I said it, just go to the website. You'll find the contact information there. And we would love for you to do that. And thank you for just being a huge part of this podcast and our show. We're so very, very grateful. So we have our guest, Kelly. Please introduce. Let's go.
Oh my gosh, you guys. And, you know, I love shameless plugs. And I just thank you how you just did that so organically, Brian. But yeah, like, we're this little show and we're growing every week and we're so excited. So any engagement you can, if you're enjoying this, please share. This week, okay, you guys, This is fun because you know how this is really in my world. And Lena Swanson, you guys, if you haven't heard of her, just check her out. Like, this is amazing. She is a pet communicator. Now, how many times have we wished we could just communicate with our pets, whether it's pooping behind a closet or our table or They hide all the time, or there's so many things that they're telling us, but telepathically we're not listening or we're trying to listen. And Lena has this beautiful gift, and not only does she have the beautiful gift, she teaches others. So this is fantastic. Lena, welcome to Being Curious with Kelly and Brian on AM 950. Hello.
Hello. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and congratulations on just what you're doing with the Edge magazine. And I want to say that's how I got my start 20 years ago, was doing Edge expos and advertising in the magazine. And I'm so glad that you guys are carrying the torch, because it's an important tool. And now that you're online and I can advertise it to people in California and around the world, it's just great. So congratulations. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you so much. And oh my gosh, that makes me cry. I love when people are like, yeah, I had the other day, someone's like, I built my business with Edge Magazine. And I was like,
absolutely. A lot of us. Yeah.
Well, speaking of all this love and pets,
it and then seems look at your
you
cat.
Have one of your friends who's, if anyone's watching live.
Yeah.
It looks a little weird, just the tail.
No, it's totally like someone's right. So tell us, so what is your cat trying to tell you right now?
Where's breakfast?
Okay. Well, that's
I'm on California time, and then, you know, it's hot. It's the hot season here, so to get the dogs out, I have to get out early. And then to get ready for this, I didn't have time to feed everyone. So they're a little bit kind of like, okay, mom, let's go. but that's kind of fun too. Then we'll have some cat attention.
Well, cat attention is beautiful.
So Lena, one of the first things we like to do is we understand there's Lena, the master pet communicator, teacher. But there's also Lena, who started out as a baby and a child and a young adult and, you know, maybe had another career. Who knows? Our audience loves to get to know you and understand the events and experiences that happened maybe at an early age, maybe later in life, that actually catapulted you into creating mastery around this thing that is pet communication. So walk us back to the beginning, if you would.
Sure.
Tell us that story.
That's an excellent way to start. Yay. I was 47 years old when I first heard of animal communication. I always loved animals so much and felt like there was a soul in there, even though, you know, at a young age, I didn't even understand what that meant. But I felt like I really connected with them on a spiritual level. And I'm not one of the people who've said, you know, I've always connected, you know, talked to animals. I connected with them, but I never really felt like I was communicating with them because I didn't know, never heard of it and didn't know it was possible. And looking back, I think I did have a really strong psychic experience when I was 5. And my dad had high blood pressure, and the medication they gave him to combat that destroyed his kidneys. So he died in 1960 when I was 5. And they weren't doing dialysis or transplants or anything at the time. And I remember when the last time I saw him, and they had me kiss him goodbye, and he was going back into the hospital. And of course, nobody knew he was going to die, but I knew it was the last time I was going to see him. And then 10 days later, he did die. And it just freaked me out that I knew that. I think on a really deep level, I just shut everything down because I didn't want to know that. And it happened and I was accurate. So I grew up in Minneapolis. In my 20s, I was very interested in traveling. So I traveled the world. Then I became an elementary ESL teacher, got familiar with Hmong shaman, and eventually was called to the shamanic path myself. So that's actually part of my practice, is my shamanic healing practice. But then when I was teaching, one of my golden retrievers had a really arthritic leg, and I had a woman come and do Reiki for her. And the third time she came to do Reiki, she said, "Lena, you're so intuitive and you love animals so much, you should take an animal communication class." And this is when I was 47. And I'm like, "What's that?" And honestly, at the time, I was open to metaphysics and all of these things, but I didn't know anything about them, even to the point that when she said, "You're so intuitive," I didn't really know what she meant by that. I thought she meant like I had good gut feelings or, you know, but it was also new to me. Then I did take an animal communication weekend course, and I wasn't good at all. I mean, we did these exercises.
And I love like, your honesty. You're like, I wasn't good at all.
But I'm also stubborn and I love animals. So I did take the advanced weekend a couple of months later. Well, interestingly, that was right when 9/11 happened in 2001. And then my sister up and died suddenly of a pulmonary embolism. And, you know, we didn't even know she was sick. So all these things happened to me at the same time. Then I did take the weekend workshop after my sister died. And it turns out I could hear this cat talking to me and telling me about past life we had together. And I was just blown away. I was still teaching elementary ESL, but with my sister dying and taking time off of work to handle her affairs, I just left teaching and started doing animal communication professionally because it was something I could just do right away. I did take a lot of courses, though, because I think you need to figure out, you know, exactly the interaction with the animal, interaction with people. But so that's kind of where I came from. But I love to tell my story because I think a lot of people who want to learn animal communication or psychic work, they feel like, oh, you know, I have to have been thinking this, doing this my whole life, or, you know, and no, I mean, like I said, I never even heard of it till I was 47, and look at me now. So it's never too late to learn it. It's never too late to do it professionally. So
tell us about telepathy. And can anyone do it? Is it only special people? Do you need a gold star pass? Do you need a, you know, a special?
I know a lot of people at first would say, and even now they say, oh, you have such a gift. I wish I had your gift. And I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it for 20 years. So yeah, I'm pretty good at it by now. But everyone can do it. Everyone is wired for telepathy, hardwired for telepathy. It's just that most people don't bother or aren't aware, like I wasn't, and they don't actually pursue studying it and practicing it. But we all have that gift. And so once you do uncover, start uncovering the gift, like through a class I teach or a course, online course that I've been teaching, then you discover, oh my gosh, I really can do this. It's just being open to it. So telepathy is basically speaking to animals psychically, using psychic gifts, clairaudience, clairvoyance, getting images, hearing thoughts. And so the animal doesn't have to be with you. Most of my clients, in fact, all of my clients I talk to over the phone or doing Skype, because we don't have to be together. It's talking to them on a psychic level. And that's the way animals communicate with each other. So they're really, really good at it. It's just that we have to learn it.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I was just coughing and now I'm trying to come back, right? Of course, I asked you about telepathy and then I just start coughing. So you mentioned clairaudience. Now, I know there's the five clairs. And I just, for our audience, what... because there's knowing, there's seeing, there's smelling, there's like all these different ways that people can tap into it. Dive a little deeper on that just to kind of give our audience a little bit of that background. Because you said it and I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm following you. But then I'm like, how many people just went, what is she talking about?
I know, right? I did give you guys the link to a webinar or a free online event I did where I talk in depth about the psychic skills.
Great.
As a prelude to my online course. But yeah, it's the same as when somebody's doing a psychic reading. The clairvoyance is getting an image in your mind's eye. And a lot of times we feel like the mind's eye is the third eye, the chakra, the third eye chakra is where images come. You know, that might be the opening or the entry, but you know, the images are just there. So if I say envision an orange in your mind's eye, and you see an orange psychically, you know, where is it? It's there. Clairaudience, being able to hear the animal. I used to teach English for years. So, I lived in Europe for a couple of years and learned German and Swiss German. And so I think I'm very language adept. And so for me, I actually hear words animals are saying, and I can write, you know, page after page of exactly what they're saying to me. So I hear that. Everybody has different strengths. Sometimes people are much more image-oriented. Sometimes, like for me, my background, I'm much more word-oriented, although I get images too. So that's what the courses are about, is helping people discover what their strengths are and then work on developing the rest. So
I'm a knower, and I get the images. That's right. Right? Those are my two, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, the clairs.
My clairs.
I'm so glad you said I'm a knower, because that's a really, really important psychic skill that is sometimes the hardest for people, because you tell them you just know, and you have that, right? That warm feeling inside where you're relaxed and you just know that's the answer or that's the information, the correct information. But sometimes, you know, people at the beginning are always, oh, I feel like I'm making this up. I feel like I'm making this up. But when you really check in, the information is coming way too fast. I mean, to make something up, you have to kind of decide to make it up, and then you have to think about what you're going to make up, right? Yes. And with telepathy or, you know, the clairs, it just is there. And so the knowing is just as accurate, obviously, as you know, as any other skill. But sometimes it's the hardest to really be comfortable with at first, right? And then you said you see images too? Yeah, animals are big, big on images. They're very big on images. You'll just all of a sudden they'll just send you something. It'll be there. So it's a good thing for people to kind of be aware of.
Well, and it's universal when you think about it, right? And
yeah.
And then, like, okay, so I have a question. Like, since your words by the way, Mr. Brian lived in Germany as well. So I have a feeling you guys are going to go off on a German tangent. Do you see the words coming in English or German, or can you ask the animal to give you a communication in a way, or does it just flow in? Does it mix up, or like, how do you do that?
See, the thing is, the telepathy is the animal's intention behind the words. So I can talk to a dog in Germany or any other country. And because we're sharing intentions of the language, not the actual words, it works.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys. Oh my gosh. This was segment one's already done, you guys. Can you believe it? Wow. We're going to jump in. This is so much fun. You guys. I'm saying you guys love Wunderbar. There we go. I was about to say, bring us out in German. This is the Being Curious with Kelly and Brian show, AM 950. We're here with Lena Swanson, animal communicator. Brian's here. I'm here. You guys, we're coming back. See you soon.
All right. We are back. Being Curious with Kelly and Brian.
Always.
We have an amazing guest. Segment one flew by. flew. We're going to jump right back in. We just want to say we're here with AM 950, the Progressive Voice, and let's go. So I think probably one of the things that's on everyone's minds just off of segment one is, hey, I love my pet. How much better could my relationship be with my baby, my pet, by maybe taking one of your courses or starting down this path of animal communication? What would you say to the millions and millions and millions of people who just absolutely love their pets?
Yeah, good question. One thing that you hear or think about all the time as an animal lover is, I wish I knew what they were trying to tell me. I wish I knew how they're feeling. I wish I knew how I could help them. And so that's the main benefit, is actually being able to find out the answer to questions like that. Because as an animal lover, you want the best for your animals. I mean, most people who love their animals will say, I love them as much as my human kids. And people who don't have human kids, they're their kids. And so you want to take the best care you can. And especially when you notice that things are off, or, you know, they're kind of lethargic, or like you had said, Kelly, a cat or a dog who's not going to the bathroom in the right place. There's something up. And interestingly, you know, I studied with Echo Bodine early on and did her psychic development class. And I'm so glad I did, because I learned so much about earthbound spirits. And so often, I'd say like 60 or 70% of my animal communication sessions involve animals reporting spirits in the house. Because people will call me because they'll say, my dog won't go in the basement anymore, or the behavior has changed so significantly, or animals will, especially cats, will start peeing around the house. That's a, you know, if it's not a urinary infection, it's a message. And that's the main thing, the benefit of animal communication, is to find out what these messages are. So, yeah. And people, like I said, can learn to do it themselves. And even if they don't become a professional animal communicator, you have those lines of communication open with your own animals. And so you'll start getting hunches, and you'll start understanding what's going on with them. It's really a beautiful gift, and it makes that relationship so much deeper.
So what's interesting is what you said about the picking up on spirits. I lived in a home previous that was built in 73, and we heard from neighbors that the lady that lived there before us had like one of those animal doors. So they had the outside outside space and then the inside space, but she would leave for the weekend, and the dogs would just be barking, and they would be really, really – I know. My heart hurts.
Yeah.
Our son picked up on, so we would hear the spirits of the dogs barking in the basement, and our cats hid all the time in that previous house. we moved recently, like within the last year, to a home that had never had animals and only had one owner. And our cats have never been out and about more. They don't hide anymore. They are out and about. I mean, you could just tell the energy of the house is so different. So I love that you touched on that, because that's like a really easy frequency to tap into.
Well, and what I did years ago then, because it's happening so often, is I wrote up I used to tell people, and then I'm like, why don't I just write this up? So I wrote up a whole set of instructions on how to clear your own place. And I always tell people, if you want me to do it shamanically, I can do that. But I think it's really nice for people to step into their own power and take ownership of their home and all that space and really let the spirits know, you know, please cross over. Or if you don't want to cross over, you're not welcome here, and create a boundary. And I've only had two or three people get back to me and say, could you do it? Could you do a shamanic journey and help these spirits cross over? Otherwise, people are amazed at how, with a really loving, compassionate intention, how they're able to help these lost souls leave and cross over. And of course, their animals are really, really thankful. Some animals get really freaked out by it. Others, you know, like it'll be a multiple animal household and one of the cats is really freaked out and the rest of the animals go, yeah, I see that spirit. Doesn't bother me. And that's what I found too, is often that an earthbound spirit will end up picking on one animal or be really in love with one animal and want to be around the animal. And, you know, just, it's just a very unsettled energy. So they let us know with peeing or pooping. If an animal is pooping in the wrong place, I always say that's a message. Always.
Well, you have to try. Okay. So I have two cats. So you have to try the multiple boxes, and then you have to go through the different cat litter. And, you know, I was told, you know, how we like the cat boxes that have the hood on it. Well, some cats don't like that. Some do. And so we went through all of that before we were like, we need to get a little curious on this.
Well, speaking of cat litter and trying a million things, I donate, you know, 15, 20 minute sessions to those silent auctions for, you know, for rescue groups and stuff. So years ago, somebody called me and she had gotten a 15 minute reading and she said, I'm just ready to euthanize my cat, Archie, because he keeps peeing out of the box and I can't handle it. So I'm like, well, okay, let's talk. And so Archie showed me, he sent me an image and she of a very, very full kitty box with full of litter. And he said, I hate that because when I'm standing in there, I feel like I'm standing on shifting sands. Then he sent me an image of a litter box with about an inch and a half of litter. And he said, this is what I want. I want to be able to have a very strong stance and then still cover stuff up. And so I you know, because I always put my people on hold, talk to the animal and then come back to them. So I came back to her and I said, he says, you just put way too much litter in the litter box. And there was just this silence. And she goes, oh, yeah, I do. I fill it almost to the top because I don't want to have to keep filling it. Yeah. And so I said, hey, he showed me about an inch and a half, maximum 2 inches in the bottom. She called me about 3 days later and said, that was it. He never peed out of the box again. So that's a really good example of how, you know, I just, so many cats are euthanized for a urine, you know, a peeing issue where if you just talk to them, one cat, they had the kitty box in the stairwell at their house and it was just a real busy place and they hated that. They wanted more privacy. So as soon as they moved the box to a more private area, problem solved. So that's, I think, the beauty of talking to your animals is just the solutions are so easy a lot of the time.
I don't like going to the bathroom, like, out and about.
No, right?
Hey, everybody, guess what I'm doing? Like, right?
Yeah. Well, I loved that. She get a free session, and she solved her cat problem that she was just about to euthanize her cat, you know. So, and he was so good at sending images. So
wow. Yeah. I'm like heartbroken and I'm also laughing. I'm like heartbroken, like, oh my gosh, there was almost a murder of a good animal.
Right.
And then I'm also laughing because I'm thinking about so many of the dogs in my life where, like, we'll be walking in the woods and they're doing their thing and they kind of look at you like, there's always this look of like, don't look at me. don't look. I'm here. Yeah. Hi, don't leave me, but don't look at me. I always feel like a very real sense of, yes, we both know what's going on. Like it's like a dog even who's, you know, on the spectrum of whatever human to animal.
Yeah.
They're still feeling to what Kelly was saying. Like there's a level of this is a private thing. Yeah. It's a natural thing, but a private thing.
Right. Right. Oh, people tell me all the time their dogs won't go to the bathroom if they're on the leash. They have to get them off leash and get a distance away. So yeah. Yeah. We have to honor their desires.
Again, I love my husband and kids, but like, I don't like, I like private time. Like I like to close the door. I like to like do what I got to do. And then I come back out and everything's fine. And the animals don't get to have that privacy. Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody listening. That's just, I'm sorry.
So, you know, you mentioned, you shared this beautiful story about the free session that turned into saving this cat's life ultimately. What would you say is your favorite story over 20 years where it might be something you would share with a new client or just something that really touches your heart in terms of an impact that you've had over the last 20 years?
Well, I like this story because it involves close friends of mine and it kind of shows, it illustrates how people who are complete skeptics kind of move into the, total believers, you know, because they can't help it. So it was a client who called me, a new client, and she wanted me to talk to their dog. And she told me, my husband's so skeptical, he's making me use my fund money. You know, they have separate fund money accounts. And he said, you're just throwing your money down the toilet. You know, this is ridiculous. So anyway, I talked to their dog and figured out issues. And the dog's behavior changed. So then the woman called me again a few months later and wanted to talk again. And then when she got done, her husband said, well, what did the dog say? And she goes, I'm not going to tell you. You were trashing this whole idea and you're making me pay for it, right? So now, fast forward, I keep talking to the dog. We keep having great results. The husband he's so skeptical, but he can't write it off to anything else. He can't just explain it away. So he finally, with all the evidence, has to admit, okay, she's talking to our dog and it's working and it's real. And so then he participated, you know, once he was into it, he was always coming up with super good questions. And when it was his birthday, he asked for animal communication session for his birthday gift. And they became really close friends of mine. Well, so that was years ago. So a couple of years ago, their current dog had some problem with her teeth and they wanted me to check on it. So, you know, they had it fixed at the doggy dentist. And so I said, yeah, that tooth is good. But she's giving me physically a tingling in my upper right side of my mouth. I think she's got a new problem going on. And it was, my friend was kind of like, okay. So they bring the dog back to the vet. Sure enough, there's a tooth issue going on upper right side. And after all these years and becoming close friends, he goes, you know, I still couldn't believe it. You know, I do believe it, but I'm still blown away that you can do that and get that accurate information. So I think that's fun. I tell my clients all the time, you know, especially women, don't worry about it if your partner or your husband is a non-believer and they're skeptical. We're not trying to prove anything to them. They can stay. It's their place on their path. They can stay a non-believer. But what we're trying to do is help your animal. So we don't really care about them. And if they come along for the ride eventually because they see so much evidence of this working, that's great. And if they don't, well, we've helped your animal. So I think that's a good one.
Animals that have been through shelters. How – I just have this – what do you get? What do you hear? I mean, how scary. I mean, I have a dog that was in 3 kill shelters before he was 6 months old. We adopted him. He has a hard time being boarded now because he just goes into that fight or flight. What insight do you have for that?
Well, that is a hard one. And a lot of animals tell me, you know, if dogs don't want to be crated, they're just claustrophobic. I mean, they're like a person who's claustrophobic. And I mean, you can do tapping and all kinds of modalities, but sometimes it's just a hard thing to get over, especially if you've had a traumatic past. A lot of animals will have post-traumatic stress like you're describing. And then I like to do a lot of holistic things for them. Flower essences, you know, the Bach remedies, essential oils. A lot of dogs do really well with a thunder shirt just for general anxiety, not just for storms. The pheromone collars can be really helpful. There's a lot of holistic things you can do, like tools you can give your animals to help them get past some of that post-traumatic stress, but they definitely have it. A lot of my sessions now involve animals dogs who have been adopted from the South.
Oh.
Because there aren't that many dogs. I mean, happily, in Minnesota, for example, there aren't that many dogs available for adoption because we've done a decent job of spaying neuter programs and just educating people. But the South, they just don't have the money. It's not embedded in their culture yet to really do that with their animals. So they're just having litter after litter, going to kill shelters. So there's a whole movement now of people in the North going down with different transport links and getting animals from the South. So that's the majority of who I talk to now. And trust me, they've had all kinds of stress.
They need to listen to The Price is Right because Bob Barker reminded everybody to spay or neuter your cat or your animals at every episode. Yeah. I don't know if the new host is doing that or not, but oh my gosh.
It's just, I mean, people just, if you're not raised in that kind of culture or mentality, it's just normal to not, you know, to have animals and just have them there and not really take care of them.
I get it. Okay, you guys, wrapping up segment two, Being Curious with Kelly and Brian, AM 950, here with Lena Swanson, pet communicator. You guys, more to come.
All right, welcome back. Segment three. We're having so much fun. The time's flying. We want to make sure we do get as much in as we can. And we want people to really get to know you. Ultimately, we want people to connect. We want someone out there to listen to this and go, I have to connect because of my pet, because of whatever reason they have, because they've just enjoyed their time with you. And I want to make sure that people know that there's actually more to you than just being a pet communicator, right? So I'd love for you to share a bit about, you also do psychic readings. You're also a shamanic healer, past life regression. Give our audience just more context around those other offerings that you have and how they might connect with you for those.
Well, and they're all tied together, right? I mean, there's that beautiful, you know, synergy with them. This isn't going to be great.
Yeah, it's a good point. So I started doing animal communication, you know, after my sister died, and I turned out that I was pretty good at it from the get-go. I did take courses, you know, classes, practiced for a long time, and then left teaching and started doing it professionally. At the exact same time, I was called to the shamanic path. It was devastating. My sister was just a year younger than me, and we were really close. Shared a bedroom growing up, that whole thing. And so when she died, it really turned my world upside down. And it was just 3 weeks after 9/11. And you guys can remember how devastating that was. So it was a really hard time. And it was up to me to clear out her house in St. Louis Park and sell everything and do all of that. So I took a leave of absence from my teaching job. And the woman I had taken that weekend animal communication class from had a lot of books that she used to be a librarian. So she had a lot of books for people to borrow. And she knew my sister had died suddenly, unexpectedly. So she said, I think it would really help for you to read Echoes of the Soul by Echo Bodine. And I read that. And it really, if you're not familiar, that's a great book. Echo is taken on a tour of the other side. And she really explains sudden death and infants dying. And it was really put me at peace with the whole thing, everything that happened with my sister. Well, then I still was stuck trying to get her house done. I was just avoiding it. And in that book, Echo talks about having a shamanic healing with a local shaman in Minneapolis. And then she talks about some of the symptoms of soul loss. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's totally describing me. I think a big part of my soul left when my dad died when I was 5. And so then now my sister died. So anyway, I found the shaman she had worked with in Minneapolis and worked with him. And it just changed my life. I was able to finally address clearing out my sister's house and taking care of her estate. And then I was interested in learning it myself. So I took a beginning journeying course, and it was just my call to the shamanic path to do that work as a healer. And I had been so familiar with shaman because of my connection with the Hmong culture in my work as an elementary ESL teacher. And I was always really fascinated by Hmong shaman. So that's how I got into the shamanic part and took a lot of workshops with Sandra Ingerman and just love that. That's so much part of my essence. Carol Lowell brought a very well-known past life regression facilitator to the center in Minneapolis, and she taught that. And I was just taking it because I was curious. And then I had such an amazing healing from the practice sessions when I was taken on past lives and brought to healing through that, that I decided to do that for people. And then a couple years later, a local psychic, a very well-known psychic, asked me to do a reading for her dog because she was too close to her dog. She said, and I do psychic work and mediumship. I just really have trouble with animal communication. And she wanted to trade. And I thought, okay, we can trade. And then, I did the communication and she did a psychic reading for me. And the first thing she said to me is, you need to be doing psychic readings. And I'm like, what? And she goes, yeah, you need to do psychic readings. Add that to your animal communication. So I thought, okay. So I did a psychic reading for her and she was super happy with it. And so we just kind of added that too. So those are the things I do now and I love them. And luckily I can still do all the work remotely because I moved to California 2.5 years ago. And then COVID hit. And so I was like, oh my gosh, but I haven't missed a beat with my practice. So that's been really nice. What I did miss a lot was teaching because I was teaching in person at Echo Bodine Center in Minneapolis. And right around the year mark of COVID, after the first year, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I just want to teach again. I really miss teaching. And then out of the blue, I got a solicitation from one of my fellow shamanic practitioners about buying a package where you learn how to and get support for creating an online course. And I thought, boy, this is interesting synchronicity. I was just thinking about how I miss teaching. And now here's the key to a very important and helpful key to learning how to do an online course. So that's what I have been doing lately. And I just actually finished my first online course in May. And I will say it was a labor of love doing all the promotion. And I mean, designing the landing pages and oh my gosh, it was just amazing. But I love teaching and it is a way to reach more people. So I am going to continue to do the online teaching. And you know, the COVID variants keep coming and I don't know when and if I'll ever teach, you know, in person again in small groups. I'd like to, but right now I'm just going to focus online just for safety and just to reach more people.
Okay. So your 7-week online course, when's the next time are you going to do that?
I'm not quite sure. I want to offer a professional level animal communication development for people who really, really want to take it seriously and possibly become professional animal communicators. I'd love to have more people who I feel are really good at it and are viewing the work as being of service. I know a lot of people say, you know, I'm so sick of my corporate job. I'm going to do this because, you know, I can earn good money. But I really want to foster a sense of being of service to people and animals and not just, hey, I'm sick of my, you know, life. I want to do this now. So I'd like to coach people in like a year-long coaching program, coach a small group of people and call it a professional level course, whether they use it professionally to become a communicator, or a lot of people are working with animals. They're horse trainers, they're dog trainers, they're veterinarians, vet techs. I mean, anyone who's working with animals could use a professional level course. But the beginning course that I just taught, I think I'll probably be doing that again in January. I'll have to see schedule energy wise, you know, what I'm kind of still waiting for, guidance on that.
And is that on your website, connectingtoanimals.com? Is that how people can find out more about that?
Okay. Yes, that's where the course stuff is. Otherwise, I have my lenaswanson.com website.
Perfect. Oh, no, that's fantastic. So something I want to ask you is, communicating with deceased animals different than communicating with animals that are here on Earth right now?
No, not at all. When we're talking to animals, we're speaking with their soul, and whether they're incarnate in a body or not, it doesn't matter at all. And those are some of the most fulfilling communication sessions I do, because there is so much grief around the loss, but then there's so much worry about, did I wait too long? Did I euthanize too soon? Were there other things I could have tried? I just talked to a longtime client. I mean, it's kind of interesting now. A lot of my clients I've had for 20 years.
Sure.
You know, the kids were in high school when I started. Now they're on their own. I've been through two or three of their groups of animals. But, one woman I talked to recently, a longtime client, her rabbit just up and died. And it was just devastating. The rabbit was young. The woman happened to be out of town, which is the worst when your animal dies and you're not there. But it was really comforting, because then she was like, was there anything I could have known? Were there signs that I should have seen? Did I miss something? And the rabbit said, no, I was feeling great until the moment I died. And I feel like it was a heart defect and I was going to go at some point. It was just going to blow anyway. And that literally is how he died. Just pfft. So it was very comforting for her to know that there's nothing she could have done and it was just inevitable. So, but I haven't, when you're actually talking to the deceased animal, it doesn't feel any different at all.
But think about it as a wellness program. Like, so you bring a dog in, whether it was through a litter where it was loved and nourished and had all of that. And then all of a sudden, it's playing around with its playmates. I'm talking about like dogs. And then all of a sudden you grab it and you're loving on it. And it's like, wait a sec, where's my mom? Where are my friends? Where am I? Right. And to be able to communicate that way. But then as the animal joins the family and has different life events, to be able to have an animal communicator on your wellness team for your animal, I think is powerful.
Oh, absolutely. I have a few clients who pretty much, we talk to their animals once a month.
Yeah.
Just to check in, to make sure everything's okay. There's always some kind of issue. It's really good, I think, to check in consistently because I end every session that I do, one-to-one sessions. I ask the animal, I tell the animal, thank you for all the information. And then I say, is there anything you want to tell us that we haven't asked you? And it's amazing that can yield so much important information. Just saying, hey, instead of being so person-centric, like, well, I have all these questions, what about the animal? Maybe the animal has questions for you.
What are some examples of really good questions that you've wrapped up with that the animals have shared with you that you were like, oh, my gosh?
Well, oftentimes they just want to express their thanks and say, thank you for the good care and I love you. And, but sometimes like for one woman who had a Shih Tzu and she really wanted to get she had a rescue Shih Tzu and she really wanted to rescue another one. And her little dog would always say, no, I don't want, I want to be alone. I don't want another dog. I don't want another dog. So we kept asking her for probably a couple of years. And then we just stopped asking because she kept saying no. Well, then literally after three or four more years, I said to her, the dog, after a session, at the end of a session, I said, is there anything you want to tell us? And she goes, yeah, I want another dog. I'm like, what? You've said for years you didn't want another dog. And she goes, well, I didn't want one before, but now I do. And she just, we hadn't asked her for a couple of years because she kept saying no. So that was really cute, because we would have missed that. So, I always open it up to the animals. Sometimes I think they'll talk about some condition or something that we haven't honed in on that the person wasn't aware of. They'll bring something up. So it can be really helpful. Sometimes they'll say, oh, by the way, there's a spirit in the house. I'm like, what? Because we've been busy talking about other issues and it wasn't really bothering them. But then as long as we're talking and as long as I said, is there anything else? They say, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a spirit in the house. Oh, okay. So, yeah. So it's a good way to end the session.
Oh,
so,
my gosh. Okay. So we've like flown by. Like this has been a great show. Connecting Animals or connectingtoanimals.com is your website.
That's for my courses.
That's for your courses.
Connectingtoanimals.com is exclusively for my online courses. And then for my practice to read about shamanism, past life regressions, and all that, it's lenaswanson.com. L-E-N-A. It looks like Lena, but my family's always pronounced it Lena.
That's so fantastic. So if you've piqued curiosity for anybody today, what's a great way to start just finding out a little bit more about, I mean, like go to your website, of course, but what's a little action that you'd like our audience to take with you today?
You know, what would really be good is I have a 15-minute minimum just because it takes 15 minutes to get the description of the animal, to make the connection, figure out what we're talking about, right? So if this has piqued your interest at all, I would say contact me, text me, email, and let's do a short session. 15 minutes. What do you have to lose, you know? And just see what you think.
Well, and as you said before, a lady had a free 15-minute session with you, and just with one communication, right, you saved the animal's life. And I will let the audience know, I have not worked with Lena, but I did have a cat that we contacted an animal communicator. We were about to put him down. The message that we got was beautiful. From he wanted water underneath our bed in a stainless bowl, and he wanted a different cat box for peeing and pooping, and he wanted to meditate with my husband every single day on a Reiki infused pillowcase that they do every day. I promise you guys. And he changed. We went from trying to find a place to put him down to within 48 hours, it was a totally different cat. So you guys, I'm a complete ambassador for this service. And thank you, thank you, thank you. On behalf of Brian, it's Kelly, Being Curious with Kelly and Brian, AM 950. Thank you, Lena. This was an amazing time today.
So good to see you guys.
And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you.
Lots of love.